We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspired Podcast with your hosts, Gene Alert and China.
Welcome back to the Faith Grind Inspired Podcast, episode number 4. And today, we have a special, special guest. And this guest actually is really special for me because in my book, I actually wrote about him in my book when he was 23 years old, when I was 30, right? And I talk about him because he was a barber, right? He graduated from school with a finance degree. He had dreams of opening up a barbershop, and he got some pushback. And we're going to talk about that. And also, but he had the strong desire to, you know, groom people and open up a business and take this entrepreneurship seriously. So today we have my man, Alvin Parker.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Gene Alert.
What's going on, brother? How's everything been?
Everything is going great. I got some special news for you too.
Oh, really? Oh, yes, man. Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to get into it. So, all right. This podcast, right, is really about mindset. It's really about, it's entrepreneurship, right? But it's like not the highlight reel. We talk about, the tough times, the good times, the bad times, like, you know, what pushes people. Because nowadays, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, right? Everybody thinks they could do it. Everybody's like, oh, this is easy. I seen this guy doing it on Instagram, so I could do it too.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it's tough, man. And you're a barber, right? You're a licensed barber, yes. Very professional. Guys, ladies, if you see this man right now, shop. And if you look at his Instagram, and you can share that when you start talking, right? If you look at this guy and the way he is, he's professional. He's not like most barbers where you go in and it's a professional, clean place, and it's called the fade game, right?
Absolutely.
But before we get into the fade game, let's start from the beginning, right? What made you, like, when did you fall in love with this craft, like this business, you know?
Okay.
Tell me about you when you were younger.
Okay, no problem. Well, I grew up with my grandmother. It was a single parent household. So the man that had the most consistency in my life mm-hmm. was my barber. I saw him on a weekly basis.
Wow.
Now, don't get me wrong. My father and uncle was in my life. But again, they weren't at home.
Yeah.
And I didn't see them on a weekly basis.
Got it.
He told me how to speak to women, told me how to protect myself, many different other things like that.
Where did you live?
I lived on Sears Avenue in Jamaica.
Okay, in Queens.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Close to American Linden.
Okay.
Yeah, the barber name was Jay.
Okay.
And Jay's
right.
Barbershop.
So you said he taught you. How old were you?
I was 12 years old.
12.
Eighth grade.
Okay.
Yeah, starting in eighth grade.
So eighth grade, you fell in love with the character of, like,
a barber.
A barber.
And the influence that he had on me and my friends.
Got it.
Absolutely. And he was doing well. He was a correction officer, but he owned the barbershop down the block from me.
Oh, nice.
Absolutely.
So was he actually a barber or did he own
the shop? He was a barber there also.
He was a barber.
Yes.
And he
loved
was a CEO.
The passion. He had passion for the
wow.
craft. Absolutely.
Wow. That's what's up. Is he still around in Queens or no?
He retired corrections. He also pulled out of his business.
Oh.
Raised his grandchildren.
Oh, that's cool.
That.
That's cool, man. Well, you know what? He did a great job mentoring you.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's cool because I wasn't expecting that. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Right? And mentorship is very important, and it molds young men, right?
Oh.
So you're talking about eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
You went to the barber every week, right?
Yes.
And so, first of all, I have to commend your grandmother because to keep you fresh every week, man, you know, it's really cool.
yeah, she didn't play with that.
She didn't play.
No.
But she was teaching you.
Absolutely.
So she was teaching you about grooming yourself and looking like presentable at all times, which is excellent. So now, okay. So eighth grade. So you met Jay. He's mentoring you from afar, from, you know, every week.
Yes.
Right.
Not even knowing it.
And so when did you get your first clippers?
I bought my first clippers in ninth grade. I wanted to cut my friends' hair. We were just kind of messing around,
uh-huh.
but instantly I fell in love with it.
Really?
Yes. And I knew I fell in love with it because I was trying to get all my friends in my basement so I could cut their hair.
So were you doing it for free?
No, I was actually paying people.
You were paying people?
I was paying people $5 a haircut so I could cut their hair. Because people were like, no, yeah. Parents was like, no. But, you know, the parents are not giving them any allowance money. They're like, oh, I get it from Al? All right, let me go take this little Night Caesar, Dark Caesar,
nice.
And get this $5 from him. So, that's how much I loved cutting hair.
Man, I just learned two things from you today.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah, I didn't know that, brother.
Yes.
So, okay.
I tell my barbers this all the time. Like, I really wanted... I didn't fall into barbering.
Yeah.
I wanted to be here.
You wanted to be
here. Yes.
That's different. Mm-hmm. That's different. Ninth grade. Do you guys hear him? Eighth grade, he met a barber that used to cut his hair every week. By his freshman year in high school, 1 year later, he started practicing but paying people. So I call that the internship, but it was like reverse internship because you were actually paying. Most internships, people, it's just for free. Yes. So you were actually losing money. So you were taking your allowance, paying somebody else to learn.
Whoa, not allowance. My grandmother made sure I worked hard.
Oh, okay.
I was helping the people out that tent windows. I was handing out flyers for them on Merrick Boulevard. I was an eBay entrepreneur.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes, I used to sell clothing on eBay. Did really well with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In your freshman year, between eighth and ninth grade?
Yeah, I was a hustler.
Nice, man. When's your birthday?
November 9th. Scorpio.
Yeah, oh,
right
November 10th. Okay.
Right
now. Yes. That's okay. Now this is making sense, right?
Yes.
You know I didn't know that?
No? Wow.
So you're a Scorpio too.
Yeah, so I want to get that clear. My parents wasn't giving me money, and then I had to give money to someone else. I was actually earning my money.
Okay.
As an eBay entrepreneur.
Man, you know what? It's interesting, man, because we share similar stories as far as like entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Like between eighth grade and freshman year, I was selling mixtapes. I was, you know, doing all types of cool things and making money, mowing lawns because I lived in Long Island. So when it snowed, and back then it used to snow like all the time in wintertime, you know, so I used to shovel driveways, you know, $25 a pop, you know, and my boys used to be inside playing Madden or whatever 2K was, you know, at the time. And I used to just go out there and make money, me and my boys, you know. So I appreciate that. Okay. So now, did you ever work for Jay?
No, I did not work for Jay.
Really?
No, but by the time I still finished up high school. Uh-huh. I was cutting some of my friends. Went to college. Mm-hmm. Played collegiate basketball. Briarcliff College.
Okay,
it was a provisionary D2 school.
Yep.
Played basketball there. Cut all my teammates.
Okay.
Graduated within 3 years. I went to summer school every year. Made sure I graduated early. I wanted to get into the business world. I worked at a marketing firm called NAC Marketing in Farmingdale, New York.
Okay.
I was there for about 7 months. They was micromanaging.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't what I wanted to do at all.
Yeah.
They was making sure I was working for each and every cent out of that $20 an hour.
Really?
And I knew that I just wasn't cut for it.
It was a job.
It was a job that I didn't like to do.
Yeah.
I didn't mind working hard, but I didn't like to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So college. So I'm trying to figure out. So you never worked in a barbershop in high school?
No, or college, no.
Or college.
My grandmother and my family just wasn't with it. They weren't. They was like, oh, no.
So you worked, there was a barbershop in Queens that actually had a show because in Queens, like in our culture, right?
Yes.
Barbershops is where men get to like talk about sports, about business, about women, about life.
Yes.
Right? And they actually made a show. It was on MTV.
Yes.
It was a barbershop, Rooney's.
Yes.
Right? And so, what was the name of the show?
The Shop.
The Shop,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And so, I remember watching that in school.
Yes.
Right? But you had an opportunity to work there.
Yes.
So, how did you meet Rooney? How did you end up working there? Because I know it had to be a certain level of expertise and with no experience. Like, how did you get in there?
Well, I used to have a barber in Rooney's.
Okay.
His name was Van Alexander.
Okay.
Really cool guy, great guy. And then after I spoke to Van about getting into the shop, he told me to just go talk to the owner, Tim. Spoke to him, let him know I'm going to be here every day. I'm going to work extremely hard. Just give me a shot. So he ended up giving me a shot.
Uh-huh.
And I killed the game.
What year was that?
That was 2000. It was 2010.
Wow.
January 2010.
Okay.
So I went to Rooney's. I came in with the game plan. I said, okay, I'm going to be the first one in, last one out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work extremely hard, day by day by day, and I'm going to make sure I get this clientele up.
So this is 2 years before I met you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because I'm trying to put everything in perspective, you know?
Yes.
And give the audience, I like painting pictures.
Yes.
So we have this young man. So that means 2 years, so that means you're 21.
21.
Right? 21, hungry. You're saying, I want to be the first one in, last one out.
Yes.
Give me a chance. He did it.
Yes.
Right? Was he disappointed or not?
No, definitely not disappointed. He definitely said, I'm one of the hardest working barbers I ever worked for.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I want to talk about that day, right? Mm-hmm. In Do Right, Do Good. Because I bring you up all the time. Because people, I meet people that say, oh, I want to open up a restaurant. Oh, but they never worked in a restaurant. Oh, I want to open up a business. What kind of business you want to open? I don't know. I just want to make a lot of money. Right? And they, you meet these people and you're like, you're going to fail. Like, you know, and absolutely. I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy. But when I met you, I saw this fire. Right? And I didn't even ask you your birthday. I should have. Right? But if I knew you were Scorpio, it would have made a lot of sense to me. Because Scorpios are the hardest working people. And so, and I'm not being biased because I am a Scorpio. But anyway, so it's just facts, man. It's Diddy. You know, all these guys are just Scorpios, man. So anyway, but so I saw this fire in your eye and you were like, Mr. Gene, yo, man. Like, I respect you. I see you running around. I remember, man, we met at the lobby.
Absolutely. Can I say one thing?
Yeah,
can I
go ahead.
You off for a second? Every day I saw Gene. Every day. In the elevator, in the lobby. Always had a smile on his face. Always dressed sharp.
Yeah.
Ready for his opportunity at any time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that definitely.
And matter of fact, 2010, I don't know if I met you. That was the year I produced the Kevin Hart show.
Correct.
So you saw me grinding with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, every day.
Fact, yeah, yeah. I did meet you in 2010 because you saw me hustling and grinding, trying to produce this show. People didn't believe in me, you know?
Yes, indeed.
And so anyway, so that day when I met you, I was running out. You were running in and you're like, and you said, I want to ask you something. What do you think? Mm-hmm. What do you think I should do? I'm out of school now. And mind you, this guy, fresh, brother, like, you had a convertible, what was
Mustang
it?
Mustang GT.
Yeah, Mustang GT convertible, drop top, you know?
Yes, sir.
And so he's asking me, look, man, like, I don't want to go into finance. You know, I want to open up a barbershop. And I said to him, look, if that's what you want to do, you have to save your money, build your business, build your network, and then save your money and open up your own. Right. So now we get into what year? So a year ago?
A year ago.
A year
yes,
ago.
Indeed.
So you left Rooney's.
Yes.
You went somewhere else, right?
No, Rooney's unfortunately went out of business.
Oh, went out of business.
Yes.
Okay.
And it changed it to BP Cuts.
Got
yes.
it. Okay. So Rooney's went out of business.
Yes.
BP Cuts. So you went there. Or
yes.
It was the same location?
The same location.
Okay.
A new owner.
New owner.
Yes.
Okay. And was that owner a barber?
No, he was not.
He wasn't?
No.
Okay. And I want to talk about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel as a owner operator, right? Seeing people who want to open up barbershops that aren't barbers. Like, do you guys, as a barber, mm-hmm. do you respect that?
I tell you, I respect it if I see the love.
Okay.
If I see just the green in your eyes,
yeah.
No, I don't respect it at all.
Okay.
No, because, I love the craft.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I'm not a barber, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I go into a barbershop and I see all these, you know, four or five barbers cutting hair, and I'm like, which one of you guys the owner? They're like, oh, no, the owner's not. He doesn't. He's not here. He
yes.
doesn't cut hair.
Exactly.
He's watching us on camera. And I'm like, what? I get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's not, I'm not hating on people's money. Like, you know, but for me, it's opening up a business that you're passionate about, man. Like, I opened up a frozen yogurt shop with my wife. Wasn't because I was really passionate about frozen yogurt. It was because I was passionate about serving the community something that somebody else said we couldn't get.
Yes.
Or we didn't deserve, right?
Yes.
So now you worked for BP, right?
Yes.
For a little while. You saved up your money. And then you did what?
Open up a shop, the Fade Game.
Where's that?
112 in Guy R. Brewer.
Okay. So
Jamaica,
what year was that?
That was 2016.
2016. So
correct.
It's about to be 2 years.
No, November 2016.
November.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 2 years this year.
Coming up. Yep.
All right. Cool. So now on Instagram, if people, tell them your Instagram.
Mr. Parker is winning. That's my Instagram.
No.
And the shop Instagram,
yeah, the shop's
is
Instagram.
The Fade Game.
Yeah. The Fade Game. Now, when you guys check his page out, you're going to see nothing but clean floors, professional looking barbers. Everybody's always to the, it's crisp in there.
Absolutely.
Right? And
that was a goal.
Yeah. The it's a corner location. Your windows are always spotless. Like I see you growing in the morning. I always see your page is all about promoting positivity, and you're trying to encourage people, you know, and it's the same thing. So not only are you opening up your business, you're not talking about being a barber on your page. You're talking about fulfilling your vision. And that's why I'm really like impressed with you, because you're always pushing that to strive for greatness, you know? And so you open up the Fade Game. Did you get pushback? Like, was it just that easy?
No. Well, while I was building up the Fade Game, everyone around me, besides my wife, they were saying it's not going to work. The location says a bad neighborhood. What are you doing? Other barbers are very afraid of like spending a large amount of money to invest to take that leap of faith.
Yeah.
So all my coworkers are like, yo, I don't know what you're doing, but
really?
Good luck.
Really? Oh, yeah, the guys at BP.
Yes. Good luck.
Wow.
You know, they wish me good luck,
but
they just didn't see it.
They
it was
didn't
like,
see
nah,
it.
Nah, this is not going to work.
They didn't see it.
No.
But you saw it.
Yes, indeed.
So when you tell me that day you saw the location, because I'm curious, because every time, you know, you have a brick and mortar place.
Yes.
So when you were shopping around looking for locations, like, what made you fall in love with that place?
Well, at first I was a little hesitant. Mm-hmm. I had an agent. He said, I have a commercial spot for you. I want you to check it out.
Okay.
It's at Garbrewer Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a pretty bad reputation.
Used to.
So I said, no, I definitely don't want to go over there. Anyway, he said, just give it a shot. Come over here. Checked it out. Saw it was in the corner. Saw the glass. I said, you know what? This is going to be it right here.
Wow. First glance.
Yes, I said, oh, this is it.
Got it.
This is going to be the Fade Game.
Got it. Mm-hmm. And you knew the name. You had the vision for the logo. You had...
Me and my wife came up with the Fade Game.
Okay.
She used to always say to me, your Fade Game is crazy.
Yeah, it is. Like, so, if you go on his page, man, you'll see. You know, his page has a mix of, you know, his cuts, inspiration, family,
relationships.
Mm-hmm. Like, so now let's talk. You mentioned your wife a few times, right? Being a good supporter.
Yes.
Tell me about her. Tell me about where'd you guys meet? You know, cause I remember we did the engagement at 4040.
Yes.
Right. It was an engagement party. No, you proposed that night, right?
I proposed at 4040. Yes,
at 4040.
It was a surprise engagement party for her. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But, Taina is my rock. My soul, boy, I tell you. And then also, the news I have to tell you that we have one on the way.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, man.
Yes, thank
congratulations.
You, thank you.
You heard that first.
Absolutely. This is the first time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
She's three and a half months.
Congratulations, yes. Man. Did you find out boy or girl?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet?
The end
okay.
of 4 months or something
oh,
like that?
Yeah, 4 months, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But...
That's what's up. Congratulations to you guys.
She's a businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
Tendo Organics. That's the name of her company. It's a skincare, organic skincare line. She motivates me, inspires me, makes me better, compliments me.
Compliments.
Couldn't ask for more.
So how do you guys, cause some of our, listeners, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting into business, you know, they're in relationships. They might be in a relationship or getting out of one or whatever. And they want to start a business or they want to jump ship to a comfortable space to get into full-time entrepreneurship, right?
Yes.
What advice would you give about that conversation with your spouse? You know, like, how do you tell someone that, hey, I'm going to start a new business? You know, like, what do you do?
Well, Taina knew I was going to open up at a barbershop from the day she met me.
From the day she met me.
I said, this is my plan right here. So she didn't have a rebuttal.
What year did you meet her?
I met her in 2009.
Okay, so you actually met her a year before you started at Rudy's.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. So she saw the whole journey.
She
also wasn't in favor with the whole barber thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, you said typical barbershops.
Yeah.
Are not professional.
No, man.
You're not reliable.
Yeah.
So the craft has took a hard hit with,
mm-hmm.
with these imposters in the craft.
Right? Man, yeah, I'm
those aren't barbers. Those are the guys that cut hair.
Yeah,
I'm a barber.
Yeah, I know. You're a barber, brother. Like I have a little riff with the fake entrepreneurs too, man. So, I definitely understand what you're talking about with the fake barbers, right? So it's interesting because I was watching a YouTube video, right? And you used Bevel, right? Correct. And so, Bevel, man, you need to sponsor this guy, brother. Like, for real. You know?
Tristan, he follows me on Instagram.
He follows you?
We talk every
once. Oh, you talk?
Around.
Okay. Yeah, he needs to cut you a check, man, for real. Because you promote him a lot. And not only do you promote his product, you make his product. You actually made me buy one.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, you made me buy one because I was like, damn, but I can't cut hair like you. So I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, you got the secret sauce.
Yeah, bro. So I'm like, this guy is like putting in work. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I'm watching this YouTube video. It's like a Bevel review Alvin Parker, right? Google it, YouTube it, you'll see it. And this guy sitting in the chair, and it wasn't really the product that I was looking at, because at first I didn't even look at the review, what it was. Mm-hmm. I was just watching it. So I actually had it on mute. Wow. And I was watching you cut hair. But then I said, you know what? Let me unmute it. So I started listening. And all you hear in the background is barbershop talk.
Conversation. Yes.
And brother, when I tell you, you had the most focused look on your face when the camera finally went up and looked at you and zoomed in on you, it was like you weren't even, you had tunnel vision on this guy. And as a guy who patrons barbers, right, I had a huge respect for you because I'm like, I wish other barbers, you know how many times a 10-minute cut turns into an hour cut because every time someone says something, my barber stops, and I get zeked at the end of the day. He forgot where he was at. He forgot to do, you know, my shape up, yes. You know, because he's engaged with other conversations. People, his phone rings, he picks it up, and I'm just sitting
That's
there.
That's ridiculous.
Yo, man, you know how many barbers I left because of that? Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, when I saw that, I said, I hope other barbers are looking at this because barbers are showing, you're actually showing the whole process.
Yes.
A lot of barbers don't even show you the process. They show you the picture at the end.
Yes.
Right? I actually
with Photoshop sometimes.
With Photoshop. Of course, I know it's Photoshop, but they show you the end result. You're actually showing the process. You're like, oh, you want to see how I work? Let's go.
Yes, indeed.
Let's go.
Yes, indeed.
Right? And as a business owner, right? For young barbers out there, right? Young Alvin Parker's 20 years old, 22, 23 years old, right? Out there. What advice would you give to them, right? That want to get into the game?
If you want to get into the barber game, you have to study the craft. Study the craft, study the competition, the barbers around. Really get to know what you're doing. You know, in my shop, my barbers, most barbers don't know this, but they know about folliculitis. They know about alopecia. Mm-hmm. Folliculitis is the medical term for hair bumps.
Got it.
And how to prevent them and how to stop it. They also know about alopecia, which is like baldness due to stress.
Got it.
It could come and go away. Yeah. Or whatever. Yes. Oh. So, and things like that. You just really learn more than other barbers around your area. They just cut, you know, getting cut hair.
So I'm curious, right? So you're saying for the young barbers to, you know, really know their craft. What if they're in one of those fake barbershops?
Barbershop. That's the problem. You see, people don't know that. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. So you have to get from around those individuals.
Yeah.
Or you have to tune in to Gene Alert every week. Do right, do good. Mm-hmm. And that's one individual you're spending time with on a weekly basis. You know?
Thank you, man. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely. And you find things like that to do. If you don't have the people around you, because that's the excuse people make.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anyone. Well, you need to go out there and figure it out.
I had a post on social media, and it said, in this day and age, when we're coming up, we had to find the Jays and the Tim Rooneys and stuff, right? But in this day and age, you could actually do a click on Instagram and click on a hashtag and find people.
Absolutely.
Right? You could geotag in the neighborhood and find someone and DM them and contact them. We could contact Barack Obama. We could contact Michelle Obama. We could contact Diddy. We could contact anybody we want on social media.
We're closer than we've ever been.
We're closer than we've ever been. Mm-hmm. And so there's no real excuse now that you can't find a mentor, right? Mm-hmm. I think something that I would add is not only finding a mentor, it's adding value to the mentor.
Correct. Right?
Because it can't just be take, take, take.
No, it cannot. You have to deliver.
You have to deliver.
I just broke this down in one of my barbers.
Yeah.
You have to be able to share. You can't just keep taking off of the table.
Mm-mm.
No.
Do you do like a training with your team? How do you, like, what's your interview process like? How do you bring people on?
Well, the interview process is numerous factors. Obviously, the haircut is the most important.
Yeah.
Then we have a conversation just to see if you're up to date with sports.
Okay. You said sports?
Yeah, sports. Yeah, okay. Because that's big in a barbershop.
Oh, so you want them to engage in conversation.
They have to bring culture to the shop. You're not going to be sitting down.
So tell me.
Not adding value.
Yeah, tell me a typical day. So what time do you guys open?
We open up at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m.
8 a.m. What time do you close?
7 p.m. But sometimes I'm there at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. to 9 p.m.
Yeah, I've seen those days, man. Yes. I've seen those days on your gram. Now, so describe that day, right? So you come in, you open up at 8.
Yes.
And then what?
I open up at 8. I, unfortunately, it is fortunate, I have a booked up schedule.
Uh-huh.
So from 8 to 7, I'm pretty much on my feet cutting.
Wow.
The entire time. Now, if any of my barbers need me to assist, mm-hmm. I'll just go over there and I'll knock it out.
Okay, keep going. I'm going to have some questions after.
No, I'll knock it out with, they need help with a haircut. Uh-huh. Or anything that they
some
need.
Any assistance.
Yeah, advice, yeah.
So you would actually go help them and assist them on a cut?
Correct.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah. So before 8 o'clock, though, because you also need time. You can't just work in your business because at that point, you're just a worker.
Yeah.
Well, you want to work on your business. So when I wake up in the morning, 5 o'clock, I go to the gym.
Okay.
5 a.m. I'm done by 6 a.m. From 6 to 8, I work on my promotion.
Okay.
Social media posts. Google AdWords, Facebook, blah blah blah.
Okay, you know? So you sound like you have a routine.
Yes, I do. You need a routine.
Yeah. Do you believe in that?
Absolutely.
Do you think that people who don't sort of have like a schedule or routine will have a hard time, or do you think that they could just wing it throughout their entire life and make it?
No, they definitely can't wing it. Time management is an art form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a skill set that you absolutely need, especially if you want to be in business.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. My other question is, you said from the time you walk in to night, you're booked. So you have a schedule.
Yes.
Right? You have appointments.
Yes, every 30 minutes.
Every half hour, you're booked.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yes.
So how do people book it?
Right now, it is through the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Phone.
Oh, the phone? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, phone. We still didn't get to the... We got an update on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't get to the app yet where you can book the appointment.
Yeah, book the appointment on the app.
Yeah, that's a little difficult because everyone in my shop is an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So they like setting up around their schedule.
Yeah. It's I'm going to put you on to a offline, but I'll put you on to a company that could do the scheduling for you where you can have each individual barber set up their own thing. So you could put it on your website or you could put it on,
I
just
appreciate
give them,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a, I just got to get the name for you, but, I have it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like a calendar,
mm-hmm.
but you could actually set it up where, and people could pay.
Yes.
Online. You could set it up that way.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And so they need to sponsor this show too.
But can I say, like, when we open up though, I have an amazing team. It's really a team in there.
Uh-huh.
They're not like you're the owner, you do everything. They actually help with every single duty that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Any customer that needs to be handled, they're there helping. I have an excellent team.
How many people do you have on in your team, in your shop?
Seven people. Well, it was eight of us all together, including,
yeah, including
me.
You.
But seven barbers.
Seven barbers.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And wow.
Yes. And I have, they are a special unit.
Yeah.
Yeah, creative, talented. They're the reason we're the only five-star barbershop around the JFK area, uh-huh. JFK Airport.
Yeah.
We're the only five-star barbershop around there.
Interesting.
Yes, and they cut
five
the walk-ins.
Again,
yeah, five stars. I don't cut too many walk-ins. They cut the walk-ins.
They
built the reputation more than anything else.
So you only take appointments.
My God, yeah, people have been riding or dying for
it.
Like the last 7 years.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. But you know what? It's interesting because most people, when do you think...
We accept walk-ins, though. Let me get that clear.
No, you accept walk-ins, but you don't normally have the time.
Yeah, I don't have the time.
Because you have appointments. Mm-hmm. When did everything click for you? When all the doubters said, oh my God, we were wrong.
You know what? I really, to be honest, the doubters weren't putting fuel in my fire. It was people like you.
Uh-huh.
The Gene Alert to say, yo, go do it. Stop playing. Make it happen.
Nice, man.
You know?
Yeah.
My wife. Those are the voices I heard. Gene.
Yeah.
My wife. And other individuals, Tim, and other people.
So
that
you really didn't
influence.
Even acknowledge them, right? As far as like the negative noise.
There was noise in the background. I'll tell you, I play basketball. When people making all that noise when you shoot free throws,
mm-hmm.
it's just noise in the background. It's me and that hoop.
It's you and that hoop.
Yeah. You just
so it's
the noise.
Just you in that chair.
Yes.
You and your Clippers. Man.
Yeah, that's it.
That's you.
Haircut by haircut. I wanted to say one thing to
go
the young barbers out there. When you fail on a haircut, because people think haircuts are easy,
uh-huh.
but when you first get in the game, you mess up hairlines, you mess up fades, people curse you out,
uh-huh.
people let you know how they feel, mothers cry.
Yeah.
And you have to know that you're going to get better with time.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to get better with time. 10,000 hours of master your craft.
Yep.
Put your 10,000 hours in, then see where you're at.
Wow.
And if you're still not where you need to be, then it might be time to hang the jersey up.
Yeah. And it's interesting because your 10,000, the 10,000 hours is usually like 10 years, right?
Correct.
And you didn't even hit 10 years yet, but you're like a master. To me, you're a master.
Yeah, well, I did. I've been cutting hair again.
Oh, technically.
For a long time.
Technically, yeah. Yes. You're right.
Yeah, but not in the shop.
Not in the shop. Yeah, but you actually been practicing your craft since eighth grade. So, technically,
I know my barbers, they are amazed with me. I know all the barbers throughout New York City that are making noise.
Yeah.
I studied.
You studied.
Yeah. What they're doing wrong, what they're doing right.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm an energy thief.
No, it's cool, man. Like, how do you brand yourself? Let's talk about branding, right?
Yes.
Because I know some people are listening like, but I'm not a barber. I don't want to, I don't want to cut hair. I'm an entrepreneur. How does this relate to me, right? And I'm telling you for facts, right? Because I'm an author. I'm a speaker. I consult business owners all the time. I sell advertisements. I own a yogurt shop. We have a real estate business where we manage properties. And your story, your energy motivates me. And I told you just many times, every time we speak, I remember one time I put that on social media to give you that credit, because a lot of people, they look from afar, they're inspired by people, but they never give credit.
Yes.
Right? And there's no level that I'm, because I'm older than you, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm inspired by this young guy. No, I was, and when I go into schools, you don't know this, but I talk about you.
Wow.
All the time,
That's amazing.
And I bring you up to my kids because I have a program in schools where it's in Queens. Matter of fact, on Rockaway, 226 is actually one of my schools, and 124. So shout out to those principals for letting me in.
Yes.
And but these schools, these kids, a lot of them, some of them come in looking fresh. And, some of them, seventh grade, eighth grade, they're like, yeah, I want to be a barber. And I'm like, look, you want to be a barber? Do you have clippers? Yeah. Do you cut hair? I can't wait to go back to school the next time, in a couple days and tell that to one of these kids, like, look, you need to start paying. I want to hear what he says.
Yeah.
You need to start paying your friends to let them cut, let you cut their hair.
Yes.
I want to
if they're saying no, yeah, you got to pay them.
Yeah,
I
want to
know.
You
got to take initiative.
Because that right there is inspiring, right?
Yes.
It's passion. It's belief. You had a belief in yourself. The show is called Faith, Grind, Inspire, right?
Yes.
Now, the faith that you had in yourself. You had so much faith in yourself and your grind and your craft that you actually, at a young age, were paying people to cut. Like, that's cool, man. It's sort of like what I did with ACA. In the beginning, instead of when, because I knew, I called it the internship too, right? So I used to have clients like NFL players and athletes and different, you know, actors and actresses. And so what I used to do is I used to say, look, I will give you a 6-month contract. You don't have to pay me a dollar, right? I didn't pay them, but I want to work for free for you for 6 months. My office was on 300 Park Avenue, 49th and Park. So I'm in Park Avenue, suited up, wow. Right? I own a home, like I have this business, and I'm interning. I called wow. it my internship with the city, right? I talk about that in Do Right, Do Good. Mm-hmm. But I did this because I wanted people to understand that, look, a lot of people have their hands out. They're like, well, if I'm doing this service, you have to pay me for it, right? And so as business owners, you just think because you see somebody else doing it, you could do it, right? Because you don't charge the regular $15 for a cut,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah. So these guys are charging these $15, but you're gonna get the cuts where people are stopping every 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
You're gonna get the wait for 3 hours in the shop.
Yes.
You know.
And most importantly, if you're a parent and you're mm-hmm. leaving your child around this person for 30 minutes, he's influencing them. The same way
yeah.
Jay influenced me in a positive
way,
it can influence you in a negative way.
You're right.
So you should be very careful on who's cutting
yeah.
your children and your family.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you don't smoke.
No.
You don't do any of that stuff.
No, none of that nonsense.
Yeah, good. Because that's important, too, because you, like, it seems like you have a lot of discipline.
Super discipline. Yes.
Do you think this?
That came from my grandmother.
That came from.
She did not play. She used to wake me up on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
No school, no nothing. She'll wake me up at like 7 o'clock. Get up. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, we don't sleep in this house.
Wow.
It's daylight. Get dressed. Where are we going? Nowhere.
Really?
You gotta be ready. You never know.
Get ready to go where?
You never know. You better be ready. Opportunity is just not. You gotta be ready.
Wow.
And I'm not joking. My cousins, my family could confirm it. She used to wake us up.
Wow.
Get up, get dressed.
What time?
7 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Take a shower, get dressed. That was it.
Wow.
No one lays around. But my grandmother was well known in the neighborhood. She had a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
So on Saturday, Sunday morning, she didn't want people rolling in the house and people
and
like sleeping.
Sleeping.
Yeah.
No. In your pajamas.
Yeah, no. No,
eat
you need
a bowl
to be
of cereal.
Up and alert. And she worked extremely hard, too.
Yeah.
Up and alert. She was a grinder. I seen her burn out 5 ovens.
Uh-huh.
Five
uh-huh.
ovens.
Uh-huh.
Within my lifetime of living with her, which was age 1 to 17. From baking cakes. She was a nurse.
Okay.
She was a nurse at night. She used to bake cakes for churches, neighborhoods,
uh-huh.
the whole neighborhood.
So
I mean,
she was an entrepreneur too.
Absolutely.
Mm.
She burned out ovens. That's how many cakes and pies she was baking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, were your parents entrepreneurs?
No. My dad's in the military. My mother was in jail my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
she got out when I was like 22 years old.
Yeah,
she's 20. Been clean now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. So now you, wow. So your grandmother was planted that discipline and planted the entrepreneur seed in you.
Absolutely. Hands down. Yeah.
Okay.
The first time I met a guy in high school, I got a cool story for you.
Okay.
I met a guy in high school.
Uh-huh.
He was always fresh and, you know, I had all the Jordans, the Vans and jackets. That was
at
the time. And he was like, yo, I asked him for a job. I was like, what do you do? I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yo, if you give me, I ain't gonna give you a job, but if you give me $500, he said, I'll give you $1,000 next week. And I was like, okay, no doubt. So I went to my grandmother, I said, yo, I need $500.
Uh-huh.
And she looked at me and she said, wait, you think you're gonna give someone $500 and they're gonna give you $1,000? I said, yeah, he's my friend. So she was like, boy, get out of my face. Then she called me back. My grandmother was a thinker.
Uh-huh.
She probably was like, yo, this is gonna be a life lesson for him right now.
Yeah.
So she was like, I'll give you the $500. I'll give it to you.
Uh-huh.
I went there, gave him the $500, and next week I had $1,000. She was like, yo, who is this kid? I was like, this is one of my friends. She's like, stay away from him. right? So then, so stay away from this guy. So anyway, I went back to school and I'm like, yo, what do you do really? He was an eBay entrepreneur. He sold things on eBay.
Wow.
So he's able to buy the product from Manhattan or whatever it was. It was usually clothing.
Yeah.
And he would sell it for a higher price on eBay.
And you see, yes. My mind went to drugs.
Yes. That's what my grandmother thought. No, but the story goes further.
Oh, boy.
Once I told my grandmother what he did, she was like, I said, I want to give him more money so he can flip it again. And she was like, no, how about you do it yourself?
Mm.
She was like, you're a man, you can do it yourself. You don't need the middle man.
Yeah.
You can do it yourself. Do it.
Wow.
And I was like,
and that's
what?
How you got into the.
So you know what, you're right. That's how I became an eBay entrepreneur. Wow. That was because of my guy, Chris. Yeah.
Wow.
Chris.
Man, that's a story.
Yes.
Because you had me. I was like,
Yeah, no, it's just a lesson that she was so surprised. She was like, okay, you know, he's going to lose $500, but he'll never be con again. He's going to learn how.
He's going to learn,
how this world works.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but.
We had an opportunity. Well, I had an opportunity similar, but it didn't end up that way, right? You know, it was a Ponzi scheme. Like, this guy had an office. This is when I was older, you know, like 24. He had a nice office. This guy was, you know, just, you give me 500, we give you 1,000 in a month. So all of a sudden, like, everybody started giving him money. He started flipping, but he was taking everybody's money and just give it back to somebody else.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, Bernie Madoff.
And, yeah, like Bernie Madoff. Yeah, but this guy was the black Bernie Madoff. And he had an office in Garden City, and he got me, man, you know?
Wow.
Because he gave me back the money the first time. He gave me back the money the first time. And then the second time, he was just like, oh, the money's tied up in real estate. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
I was like, yeah, bro. And so... So I got, man. So when you just made me think of that, you know. But anyway, so all right. So you're married. You guys got a business.
Magical baby on the way.
Magical baby on the way. Yeah. Like, you're going to have another entrepreneur.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, because my son is 2 now, right?
Yes.
And my wife and I, you know, we're entrepreneurs. And raising a kid, right, it's going to change. Right. And I'm, you know, telling you this now, like, it's not the love is going to change. It's the attention is going to change.
Yes.
Now you have this young kid, this baby that's going to come in and shift things, because your wife is going to, like, if it's a boy, if it's a girl, like, it doesn't matter. Healthy baby. Right.
Of course.
It's going to come in and there's going to be another sort of shifting. Right. And you have to talk. You have to communicate. It took me about 6 or 7 months to really communicate with my wife, to really understand, because I'm still running a business, but my wife was, you know, breastfeeding and all this stuff. And I couldn't understand, like, why she needed me to stay up with her. I'm like, I got work in the morning, right? You're home.
Yes.
But you need to be there for her. You need to be supportive because they need it. You know, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot on the woman. Right, she's carrying a baby for 10 months, but then after that, once the baby comes out, it's on both of you, right?
Yes.
I used to drive my wife to work every day, pick her up. Like, I wanted to be that super supportive husband,
which you are.
Yeah,
you didn't want to be.
I was. I am. Yes. You know, and I know you are too, man. Because I see you when you guys have the workshops and not workshops, like the
pop ups.
The pop ups.
Yes.
You're always there. Supporting
Correct.
Your wife, you know, and that's a great thing.
You got to support your queen.
So, congratulations again, right?
Thank you.
I want you to spend like a minute or so. Tell us where we could find you again. Anything that you want, any last minute advice, any last minute thoughts you have, share it with our audience.
Okay, no problem. Again, the Fade Game Barbershop, 112-21 Guyard Brewer Boulevard. Follow us on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Mr. Parker is winning. Also, I wanted to recommend, you know, I'm a book guy. I read a lot. I'm going to recommend 3 books for you right now. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be passionate, you want to do right by people, you want to do good by people, do right, do good, Gene Alert. Make sure you pick up that book immediately. It's a jungle in there. Stephen Schussler. If you don't understand, you have no entrepreneurs around you, he will show you what it takes to open up a business to get people to believe in your dream. He's the owner of the Rainforest Cafe. I would love that book. Wonderful book. If you're a person that doesn't have the five people around you to influence you in a positive way, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Great book. It will give you the skill set on networking. You need these five people in your life. It will change your life. Gene changed my life.
I appreciate that, brother.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. And those three books, I read all of them. Mm-hmm. And I actually have How to Win Friends and Influence People on audio also.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to that book. Well, I listen to it all the time.
It's a classic.
And there's one book that would actually help, because I think part of your success, besides passion and really knowing your craft, was time management, right? So I would love to recommend this book to people, Time Traps, right? And it's the author, Todd Duncan. So don't get the other one, Todd Duncan, Time Traps.
Yes.
And he talks about all the traps, technology trap, the yes trap, all these traps that we have as business people. So I think that book would actually help people, because matter of fact, one last thing that I want to bring up, right? So as when you're self-employed, right, everybody always thinks, because if everyone around you is 9-to-5 people, mm-hmm. and you're, say, self-employed and you work for yourself, everyone always thinks that you have time to do all their errands, right?
Correct.
And so they call you up. And they're like, oh, I need you to do this. They don't respect your business. Mm-hmm. And once you fall into the trap of saying yes that first time, it's over. And the only reason that you say yes is because you don't respect your business. So you can't get mad because at the end of the month, right, when bills are due and you didn't make any money, it's because you were so busy running errands for someone else and you didn't respect your business. So you can't blame it on them. And they don't care. Because at the end of the month, when the bills are due, you're like, but the only reason I don't have any money is because I was doing all this stuff for you.
Absolutely.
You can't say that. So Time Traps is a great book that will help you with being, especially if you're jumping from a 9-to-5 to entrepreneurship, right? Because the difference, because when you're at work, if you had a 9-to-5, no one's going to disrespect your job and disrespect you, and you wouldn't disrespect your boss or your business, your position at work. If someone called you, say, during your lunch break, I need you to go pick up my dry cleaning, you would flip out.
Yes, indeed.
So you need to have that same energy when you're working for yourself and someone asks you that same thing. You got to say no. You got to have that same passion. So anyway, thank you again, Alvin. You were great. I really learned a lot from you today, and I hope our listeners learned a lot. I want to shout out Cumulus, the OG podcast network, for giving us the opportunity to air this and share this content with all the individuals. Shout out to my co-host, China. Everything that we do here is for the betterment of our culture, right, of our community. Because a lot of our kids won't have jobs when they get older. So we have to teach them now to be entrepreneurs. So I hope that's what people get from this and hear from your story, because it's going to resonate with so many people. So God bless you, man. Congratulations on the new baby on the way.
Thank you.
And congrats, man. So Faith Grind Inspire, continue to tune in. You can follow us at Mr. Alert, and you can follow us on faithgrindinspired.com. Thank you. God bless.